opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bofancy.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about
his hometown right now.
So here's Rick.
Channeling John Oliver there from HBO. But this is the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. And every week I go out and scour the neighborhoods of Louisville and find interesting people to talk to. And this week I have not failed. I tell you, I am very excited about introducing you to my two guests, Ja'Cory Arthur, who is a probably the most popular music teacher at Hyde Elementary. He may be the most popular teacher in the whole school, and he is playing at Forecastle, and there's a lot to say about him. And I got to travel back in time with my good buddy and fraternity brother from WKU, Steve Emery, who is running for public office in Oldham County. And that is news as well, especially probably to my my old fraternity brothers from 30 years ago, to think that one of our own is actually made it to the point where they could seriously run for office. So that's really good. Steve's doing a great job out there in Oldham County as an attorney. And I really enjoyed going out and speaking with him. There's a lot of other things in the news, a lot of news about former Rusty Satellite Show guest, and it's Forecastle Week. So the big show is about here, and for those that are interested in such things, Forecastle brings a lot of folks to town, some great bands, some great music, and as you may have heard on this show or on Eat Drink Talk, our other website, and podcast, there is a lot of things besides music going on with the Forecastle Festival. So we're going to talk about some of that, and it's going to be really great. It's been a busy week for me. I tell you, you know, I'm doing this Eat, Drink, Talk website and podcast now. We're about 2 months old with my friend Steve Coombs, and what I've discovered is if you cover that industry, you get to eat a lot. just in the last several days, I mean, it's just been incredible. On Sunday, I went to the Apron fundraiser at the Olmsted, and it was awesome trying dishes from 30 different Louisville chefs in one place. It was incredible. Plenty of great stuff to drink. I had some great slushy from Ballaton, and in every restaurant that you can that really is on the map in terms of independent restaurants in town. A lot of people who were former Rusty Satellite Show guests were there, and it was really great. But then I got an invite from Joey Wagner, who was on this show, and Joey has one of the partners in SET, the new restaurant across from the Palace on 4th Street downtown, and really had a great lunch there. Paul and I were trying to decide what to do, and I finally got out and took her to Noosh Nosh over there off Brownsboro Road near the Watterson, where Anoush Sariot was holding court, making pizzas right behind the counter. Really enjoyed hanging out with him. And the other day, I had to take my son Luke down to do something downtown. So we stopped in at a brand new sandwich shop called Slice, where all the names of the sandwiches are very creative, clever puns. I had the Hawaii 5-0. It was awesome with pineapple and ham and cheese and stuff, my favorite was a salad on the menu. It was called When Harry Met Salad, and there's plenty of others. So that was really cool. That's down at 2nd and Magnolia, if you ever get a chance to go there. And tonight, by the time you hear this, I will have already gone. It is the soft opening for the Red Barn Kitchen, which is in the spot once occupied by Joe's, older than dirt. There is no longer a moose outside, and I understand this is a kind of an upscale place, so I'm looking forward to that. So a lot of that is going on in Louisville, KY, my hometown. A lot of restaurants opening. You can hear in more detail about that on our weekly Eat Drink Talk podcast. EatDrinkTalk.net is the website. So this show is brought to you by a couple of great sponsors. My friends at Passport Health Plan have been with me for a long time, since nearly the beginning of the show. And my good friends at Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue. Their phone number is 502-589-1500. No matter what your eye care need, they are there to help you. They've got expert doctors and really a great staff and a great staff of folks who can help you in making sure that you're seeing well enough to experience all the things we have to offer here in Louisville. So anyway, Eye Care Institute, be sure and give those guys a call or visit them down there on Story Avenue. All right, next up, we're going to get started with the show. My first guest is Ja'Cory Arthur, who is an amazing young man. He is a master's in music from the University of Louisville. He grew up in the West End, went to PRP High School, and is now the most popular elementary school teacher at Height Elementary in the East End, over by Eastern High School. I visited Ja'Cory in his classroom, and we talked about his career and the fact that he was selected, amazingly, to open up for Castle Festival this weekend. He is on stage Friday at 3 o'clock. Encourage you to go by and see him. He'll talk about who else is on stage with him. He first came to my attention when he was a part of the Muhammad Ali, I guess, funeral event downtown that the mayor and Teddy Abrams asked Ja'Cory to join them and perform some music. And that was certainly noteworthy. And you know, it's a big week for Ja'Cory. He's opening for the Forecastle Festival, and he is also on the cover of Leo Weekly magazine. So pretty heady stuff for a 24-year-old young man who is making his way. But he says his real passion is teaching, and he does a great job with the young people over at Hyde Elementary. So I thought you'd like to hear from him. So here is my interview with Ja'Cory Arthur.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
This is a big weekend in Louisville because of the Forecastle Festival. And I am with the guy who's going to lead off the entire show, Ja'Cory Arthur. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's going to be an exciting weekend for you. I know you've got a little bit of history with the Forecastle Festival, but how do you get chosen to lead off the entire day? It's Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah, Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. sharp on the Ocean Stage. I really don't know. I'm probably the only artist on the festival bill who's not a professional touring musician. You know, I'm a music teacher at an elementary school.
You know, that's interesting. But you're making quite a name for yourself around town. Tell me about your act. Tell me what anybody that shows up for the first act on Friday is going to see.
Specifically at Forecastle, I'll have two companions that I've been working with for a while, DJ Deuce Carter, who'll be playing the tracks, controlling fog and everything in between. I also have Nick B. He's a super producer, piano, saxophone, guitar, and he'll be playing multiple instruments at the festival. And then I also put together a youth choir, students from all over the school district, JCPS, and they have been working really hard to learn my music and come together and just create, collaborate, and do something powerful.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Now, is this original? Are you a songwriter? Or you do original music?
Yeah, all compositions are completely original. And then also within the realm of hip-hop, we do some sampling. So we might take bits and recreate them or rethink them in a way that's brand new, a way that's unique.
Okay. Okay, and I guess audiences are reacting. I mean, you play, you don't play bars necessarily. You play at other types of venues for welcoming your music, right?
Yeah, so I used to, and then I slowly realized that I don't have a target demographic. You could come to my show and see one of my kindergarten students with their mom, Mayor Fisher, a skateboarder, some kid who is a graffiti artist. You can see anybody, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. A bar is very limited in terms of who can come, what the audience may or may not be. And I've just kind of elevated beyond that point to where I don't need to play in that circuit anymore. I don't do anything unless I strongly believe in it.
Okay.
And you know, that's just not my vision anymore.
And you've got quite a repertoire of instruments you play.
Yeah, I'm a percussionist, so anything you shake, scrape, or strike, I can play it. Whether it's, you know, marimba, timpani, concert snare, anything of that sorts. And then, you know, also somewhat piano proficient, and I had training on brass and strings and woodwinds. I barely play those, like, ever.
Well, certainly you've obviously got talent, and you came to my attention, first of all, for the first time recently with the Muhammad Ali festivities downtown, and you were asked to perform with Teddy Abrams, right?
Tell me about that. Mayor Fisher said he wanted music at the memorial by where the Ali Center is. So Teddy contacted me, and we went down there and jammed for a couple of days over the weekend. We played Amazing Grace with Carly Johnson. We did some improvisations with Scott Moore, violinist, and we just made music and rejoiced and paid homage to the greatest.
Yeah. Well, that must have been a special time. And it's amazing to me that, you know, the talent that you have to show up with different musicians that you may know, but you've never played with before, and just entertain people, right?
That's
a lot of fun, I guess.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's kind of the best way to get to know someone. It's almost like if you go to a salsa class. I don't know if you've ever been, or anyone who listens ever been, but you'll go with your partner, but then the instructor has you switch, and you have to get with other people.
Right.
I think it's awesome. You break people out of their box, their comfort zone, and you open up. You learn more about yourself and more about other people.
Okay.
It's important.
Okay. Well, I know you're a young man and just out of school last year, but your performing career seems to be taking off. Are you looking to get more gigs like that?
You know, I'm really just doing what I love. So I might have an opportunity to perform, and I might not take it, you know? I really want to focus on education and the youth being the next greatest thing.
Okay.
Whereas I'm not so focused on being a professional performing artist. It's fun, don't get me wrong, but I think I have a bigger impact if I start at the foundation of what our future is, which is the youth.
Okay. Well, I want to get back to that subject in just a second, but first I want to touch on the Ali performance and all that, and ask you about what's going on in our society right now, mm-hmm. and all the violence and the chance that you have, I guess, to help music send a message of peace, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So music is the only subject that involves all subjects. It's also the only subject that involves critical thinking, creativity, and collaboration. So if you can give a kid that outlet, if you can give them that terms of expression and let them take that and use that, as opposed to something that is violent, something that is toxic to our environment, that is negative, I think that's the best source of reflection. It's the best source of inspiration. You learn more about yourself. You learn more about the world, and you're making something. You know, you take ownership in it, and it makes you a completely different person.
Yeah, well, it's a very important message, and certainly I'm glad you're bringing that to Louisville. Let's go over your background just a little bit. I know you grew up in West Louisville and went to PRP High School and on to U of L. And I guess my question about that is, was music always a part of your ultimate goal, or did you go through some other ideas?
I was always around it. You know, my grandmother listened to everything from gospel to R&B and soul music, and my aunt, she grew up listening to a lot of hip-hop and also rock and roll. So I was always around music, but not very many performers or live music. And I went through phases of wanting to be an astronaut and architect, you know, work on model cars, that kind of thing. But eventually I just stumbled on the music and fell in love with it, and now I'm here.
And there you go. And I guess your education at U of L, you have a master's degree. And I guess that's what really set the tone for your career, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. The master's program that I went through, if you went through it and you weren't teaching, you were wasting your time. So, you know, I graduated on a Sunday and started working at Height Elementary School on Monday.
Wow, very cool. And that's where we are now, in your classroom, which is filled with keyboards and musical instruments and all that. And you just finished your first year of teaching at this level. Tell me how that went and what that's like teaching these young people about music.
Everyone told me that your first year is your hardest. And I didn't really have any moments where I was ready to throw in the towel. You know, I think it was wonderful. I'm so inspired and excited to start the next school year and the next school year and just take the music program here to bigger and better heights. And I really just enjoy what I do. I love waking up every day inspiring, teaching, and also gaining inspiration from the kids.
Okay, and what are the range of kids that you teach, and Is it all instruments, or you know, is there an elementary school band, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I teach general music kindergarten through fifth grade, and then I also have a Junkyard Hawks percussion ensemble. I direct and teach them, as well as the Height Jam Band. The percussion ensemble, they play all the percussion instruments, but they're unique because they're the youngest kids that are actually reading music, and they're actually making their own instruments, and they're actually taking old resources and turning them into something new, repurposing them. And then the jam band, that's a new ensemble. It used to be a chorus, but I added a rhythm section. It's like a little rock band. You know, you have little fifth graders playing electric bass or guitar or drum set. And they're wonderful. So they're taking contemporary tunes and rethinking them, creating them, and covering them, and also learning about that era as well.
Okay. You take them out in public? They play outside the classroom?
Yeah. So the Junkyard Hawks were established by Ginger Greer and Tim Hagen, who were the old music teacher and principal at Height for years. And they went everywhere from Chicago to New York, Disney World. And I'm hoping to definitely continue some of those performances and relationships in the future. But the Junkyard Hawks this last school year played at the Speed Art Museum grand reopening. They did that, and then the jam band, I took them out locally in the Middletown area, but we're looking to get out as well in the fall.
Well, very good. That's very interesting. Now, I do have to ask you about your nickname, Ja'Cory Arthur, I saw, but all your emails all have to do with the number 1200. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I was 12. Of course, and I bought a 12-track recording studio mixer. It was called the Korg D1200, and all my friends just started calling me that because I was on it so much. Yeah.
So you really were played a lot of music at a very young age.
Yeah, and a lot of it was super self-taught. You know, I might have missed some important things, but I think being self-taught in anything is important because you just figure it out. You know, I did a study in grad school once where they drop computers in some foreign country, people who didn't speak English, people who have never even seen computers, who barely even had electricity. And these kids learn how to use computers, learn how to surf the World Wide Web in a matter of hours. And all of a sudden, they were playing games and teaching each other how to speak English. So I think being self-taught is awesome. You learn a lot, and you have a completely different respect for whatever that thing may be.
Yeah, I certainly subscribe to that. Yes. And it's very interesting. So, okay, so you're in here at Height in your classroom today, and you got a big event on Friday. But what's the rest of your summer like with the kids out of school?
I have a business, 1200 LLC. So I do everything from education workshops to curation and programming events. So I'm working on that. And along the same strengths of that, I have Resurfaced, which is a pop-up art and plaza for music. And I'm really just working on everything that I possibly can to make Louisville the best place in the world and in turn make the world a better place.
Well, there's a lot of interest in that. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, which you are, there's always something to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I'm about to spray paint my classroom.
Well, that sounds fun. So, well, we're looking forward to enjoying your show at Forecastle, leading off Friday at 3:00. And, you know, I think people that are looking ahead to the big name acts and all that might get there early and see quite a show that you'll be putting on.
Yeah, they should, for sure.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And I do hope to catch that opening act on Friday at Forecastle at 3:00. You can hear Ja'Cory Arthur and his friends playing to lead off the festival. And what a great festival it's going to be. Last week I had Brad Williams from the Liquor Barn on the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast talking about what's going to be so cool about the Bourbon Lodge that is part of Forecastle. And I think on LouisvilleKY.com I'll be publishing the top 10 things you don't want to miss at the Forecastle Festival this weekend. So it's going to be a really great thing. Starting off with old Ja'Cory Arthur, who in media news was on the cover of a newly redesigned Leo Weekly magazine. I haven't picked up a copy yet, but I've seen it online. And, you know, redesigns are always interesting. You always get to see something you're familiar with in a new look. So, we'll see what old Aaron Yarmuth over there at Leo Weekly has come up with Laura Snyder, both of whom have been guests on this show.
Also, one person who's not been a guest on the show, but a big figure in local media, is Linda Lambert. Unfortunately, I read on Facebook that she has been a on-air morning personality at 102.3 The Max for many, many years, and she was let go this week, unfortunately. So I don't know what the story is with local radio. I don't pay much attention to it, but always hate to see one of my colleagues in the media lose their job. So best of luck to Linda. I'm sure, like most of us, she'll find land on her feet and find something much better. So anyway, a lot of news going on in the city. It's the middle of July, the summertime. I've got a list of things I want to talk about here, and I'm just going to get started. First of all, did you see this story about a Metro Corrections official, a sergeant, who posted this meme on Facebook? And I mean, it's really not very smart, and it tells you something about the people that work in that industry. It's really divisive, I guess. He has a picture of a white cop leaning against a cruiser, and the headline, and it says, "If we really wanted you dead, all we'd have to do is stop patrolling your neighborhoods and wait." And apparently this sergeant, of course, the good news, people in responsible positions recognize this as racist and hurtful to the community. And Sergeant Derek Hale is his name. He wrote under that meme, "Ha, truth." And he has subsequently been suspended by the Metro Corrections Department. Sadiqua Reynolds, who is head of the Louisville Urban League, made a statement about how troubling this kind of thing is. And it really is. It's tragic with the events going on in the world. I did listen to President Obama's speech the other day about at the memorial in Dallas, a very moving piece. And Ja'Cory Arthur mentioned it a little bit in our interview, that we're all looking to find peace, and that kind of peace is undone by folks like Sergeant Hale at the Corrections Department. So fortunately, I think he's going to get what's coming to him, and that's going to be into that. So I got one more story. Well, a couple more stories to touch on race. It's really amazing. Did you happen to see the what was it? The other story I wanted to talk about the Confederate monument. I've been talking about this on this show since, and I had Ricky Jones on here. It was his birthday this week. Happy birthday to Ricky. Big shout out. But apparently the city has decided that it wants to get public input for a place to take this 70-foot tall Confederate memorial that has been let's see. I saw an Insider Louisville a post that says it's a monument to treason in defense of slavery. And what community would want this symbol in their neighborhood? I joked on this show that it would look best on Dixie Highway out by that big fish sign. But in reality, anywhere that it goes, it's going to label the people behind it as racist. So it's going to be tough for them to find a place. But consider this: Mayor Greg Fisher tweeted about this issue. "The stain of slavery and racism that this monument represents for many, many people has no place in a compassionate, forward-leaning city." Okay, so now the city has the assignment of tearing it down and figuring out what to do with it. And it's going to be interesting to see if they find a place for that. Moving on, I got all kinds of segues here. Speaking of people that say things they shouldn't, Doug Cobb is decided finally, after a bunch of controversy, not to become a member of the University of Louisville Board of Trustees. That new board meets on Thursday for the first time, and of course, Mr. Cobb will not be there. He sent a letter to Governor Bevin earlier this week saying he was happy that he was nominated, but he's going to decline. Cobb was in the news because once he was announced as a member of this new Board of Trustees that Governor Bevin appointed, it was revealed, somebody looked at his Twitter feed, which he has very few followers and anything, but there were a bunch of racist stuff on there, and of course he made it clear that he doesn't believe in things like evolution or climate change, and thinks that gay people can't be Christians, and that's according to his Twitter feed, and he caught a lot of grief for that. And maybe Mr. Cobb, who is an outstanding entrepreneur, once headed GLI and has really made a difference in this community, but At this point, given those comments, I guess he's better off not in the public eye. That seems to be a very obvious thing for him. Okay, so that is going on, and of course, at the Board of Trustees meeting, there could be some news out of that. The whole Jim Ramsey issue about how long he's going to be president over at U of L, that could be resolved tomorrow. You never know. I doubt it. I really don't feel like this new board is going to be seated and accepted, but it may. Governor Bevin is putting the full force of his office behind it, and we're going to see how that all plays out. It's going to be interesting. Okay, on the lighter side of news, have you caught on to this Pokemon craze? This thing is something. Jackie Bentley of our Louisville KY team wrote a piece about Pokemon, and apparently it's if you don't know, there's this game that's existed for a while that is now available on a mobile device, and because of these mobile devices, people that like to play the game can now go find these Pokemons in public places. And you know, I'm an Uber driver, and the other day I picked up a woman who was going to the mall for the sole purpose of seeking out these Pokemon things. And there's all kinds of news about it this week. It's really amazing. And apparently it appeals to people who collected Pokemon cards, devices, whatever, back in maybe 10 years ago. These people who are now like 25 to 35 years old, the positive thing you see in the media is it's getting people out and walking and out and going around. I heard Terry Miners talking about that with a relative of his. They were going out looking for that. And you know, there's people all over the place that are basically going out for the purpose of playing this game in public. And so I'm sure you're hearing about it from somebody in your circle of friends. It's really... It's really interesting, I guess. All right, I did want to point out one thing that is not so happy. I always try to keep up with the folks that have been on the Rusty Satellite Show. And sometime back, I had a young man named Sean Vandy Vander on this show. And he was involved in a business that helped the economy and in the green economy. And he taught me a lot about what's going on in those worlds. And unfortunately, Sean, as I see on Facebook, is having some serious health problems. There's a fundraising campaign for him underway. And you know, he was very involved in his company, Echo Bridge. It's sad. He wrote in his piece that he was resigning as CEO of Echo Bridge. He had been chairman of the Roy Strange 4-H Memorial, president of the Jefferson County Extension Council, co-chairman of the Louisville Sustainability Council, the Green Economy Team. It's a long list of things that Sean was involved in. I remember that we met at the Garage Bar is where we had our interview, and he was just, you know, very happy to be involved in the show and a chance to promote what he was doing. And I hope he gets better. I think he's out in California. And if you look him up on Facebook and see this piece that he wrote, I would encourage you to give some money. It's a great cause. He's a great young man, and I hope that he gets better. I really do. I really, really do. So anyway, that's you know, one of the things that's going on in terms of Rusty Satellite alumni, and they're all over the place. They're doing things, you know, with Forecastle alone. I've had J.K. McKnight, Holly Weiler McKnight. If you were tuned in to the show last week, you heard about the Forecastle Foundation from Lauren Hendricks and Carrie Alice. And I always try to go. I'm able to. They're nice enough to give me a media credential, and I go over there and see what's going on at the Forecastle Festival. I've seen some great musical acts. I don't go for a long, long time, and it's going to be really, really hot this weekend, I hear. But I'm going to stop by, check out the Bourbon Lodge, walk around a bit, see what's new. It's not just about music. Remember, it's a music, art, and activism show. So if you're not aware of it and you haven't had a chance to check it out, go down to the waterfront. There's a lot of events around it, too. There's parties after it closes and preview parties. I know on Thursday night I'm going to Against the Grain to pick up the media credential, and there's a sort of a pre-Forecastle party. So these people, JK and his team, really know how to do it right, and they've got the magic touch for attracting a big crowd. So you can expect that downtown will be filled with these hipsters, these young people that are into music. And I think it's like 30 different acts that are here in town, beginning with Ja'Cory Arthur, who you heard on the show. All right, well, let's move ahead and let you hear about my next guest. And Steve Emery, he was kidding me as I left, because I mentioned his college nickname. We used to all have nicknames in college, and his was Index. I don't know why, you might ask him. Mine was Otis, in honor of Otis Redding, the singer, who shares my last name. And we all had names. But out of our fraternity at WKU, I graduated in 82. A lot of folks have gone on to bigger and better things and been successful in the world. The only other Rusty Satellite guest that I've had from my fraternity is one Mark Hebert, who's been on twice. He's my good buddy. I play golf with and do all kinds of fun things with, and he works over there at the University of Louisville in communications. So anyway, Steve was I think a year or two behind me at Western, but we partied together, and he went on to basically, I found this interesting, at age 35 he started law school and became a lawyer, and now he's a very respected member of the Oldham County community. He's the city lawyer for LaGrange, Kentucky, the city of LaGrange, and he is running for family court judge. And I'm really pulling for him. He's got quite a race ahead of him. I think there's two or three opponents. But I think when you listen to Steve, you'll see that he'd be a great choice out there in Oldham County. So here's my endorsement, since of course, I don't get to vote out there, but if you do and you live in Oldham County, certainly remember Steve Emery as a candidate for family court judge this fall in November. So anyway, it was fun to catch up with him, talk about some old college stories and all that. I promised I wouldn't embarrass him on the air with any more detailed accounts of some of the things that we did there, but it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. And I'm going to step aside and let you hear my interview with Steve Emery.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Today I find myself out in Oldham County with a good old fraternity brother of mine, also known as Index, Steve Emery. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
We sure never thought back at WKU we'd be 30 years later talking on a podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't even know what a podcast was.
That's a real recent development. But you know, one thing that's interesting, I think, of all the antics we had in college, one thing we always said was, you know, if we ever get old enough, we'll never be able to run for office because of all these stories. Yet you're running for office out here in Oldham County.
I am. I figured by now the Polaroids have faded, and I probably have a chance.
Well, you don't know. You know, some of those women may come out of the woodwork and all that, as things tend to happen when you run for public office. But tell me what you're running for.
I'm running for family court judge in Henry Oldham and Trimble County, which is the 12th Judicial Circuit in Kentucky.
Okay. And you're a lawyer by trade. You've been building a private practice in Oldham County. You're well known out there. I know you're on the Chamber of Commerce, you know, a couple other boards. What was the opportunity that spurred you to say, hey, I think I'll run for office?
Well, this is an important role in the community. I've been very involved in the community and certainly know a lot of families and friends and people that are affected by family issues. Uh-huh. And this was my opportunity to be able to give that more to the community.
Okay. And
I guess it's going to be, the opening was created by some change that occurred. What was how did this opening come about? Because, well, it's not a regular election cycle.
It's not, and it's a special election to fill out the remainder of the term. There are 6 years remaining on the term that was formerly held by Tim Feely, and Tim Feely is now working for the Cabinet for Families and Children, and his work is in Frankfurt now.
Okay. Well, good. Well, it's a good opportunity for you. What is it that attracted you to say, this is what I'm going to do? Is it this kind of work that you really wanted to get involved in?
Yes, and it actually goes back to when I first began practicing privately. When I first began, I worked for Siegel, Stewart, Cutler, Lindsay, Janes, and Berry, and we did primarily employment law. However, being the youngest attorney at the firm, it was my job to speak with the individual members of the unions that were having family issues.
Okay.
And so I began taking on those types of cases and learned very quickly, that it required a lot of attention and a lot of care. And it was something that I found very enjoyable, being able to help people through difficulties with their families.
Well, it's tough because it really, ultimately, it usually affects everybody. If you haven't been to family court, you're probably headed there. If you're just, for a majority of the people in the way, it requires a bunch of compassion, I guess. So you've been on the campaign trail, right?
How's that going? Well, it's very interesting. This weekend was very exciting because we had the Henry County and the Trimble County Fair both going on at the same time. So we were sure to make our appearances and try to meet as many people as we could who were going to be voting in the election. And I was excited to find some of my friends out there and also found some brand new people who were very willing to listen and very willing to speak to me about what their expectations were.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know that, on the surface of it, you think about, walking up to a stranger and introducing yourself and tell them you're running for office. That's intimidating for a lot of folks. Do you find yourself a natural at it, or how's that going?
Well, I'm not intimidated at all. What I find is most of the people are intimidated by somebody reaching their hand out to them. but they're, especially the size that I am. I mean, at my height, and I'm about 6'3", I can intimidate people just by the approach. But it's very comfortable for me, all the way from, standing next to the Ferris wheel to going into the area where they're judging the goats. You just have to do what you have to do to find the voters that are going to be listening to you and voting for you when the time comes.
Yeah, well, exactly. And are you planning to do, like, door-to-door and all that? Activities of your campaign.
Oh, you have to do that. That strategy to get out the vote is going to wear out shoe leather, and it's going to wear out your knuckles knocking on doors. You do have to work hard when it really comes down to it. You also have to reach out to people now that you may not be able to reach by door to door. You have to plan direct mailing campaigns. You have to plan to be participating in festivals and celebrations and other community events. You must be there.
Yeah.
To miss means you're chasing someone, because your other folks that are running are certainly going to be doing exactly the same thing. You have to smile, you have to be passionate about it, and you have to be sincere. And so that can't be faked. You have to really want it, and you have to show people that you want it.
Yeah. Well, I've been around a lot of politicians, and, that is what it amazes me every time. I think, wow, they spent, all sorts of people, spend their evening hours, go to work all day, and spend your evening hours walking around a neighborhood trying to meet people. It's certainly a challenging activity.
Yes, and it takes money and time, and you have to be on this all the time. You can't for a moment put your guard down. You've got to remember this is your job right now. And it does take you off task. It makes you have to focus very hard on the clients that you do have, because I'm still practicing law, and they deserve my primary attention. But certainly, we need to make time to run for the office as well.
Well, let's look back a minute, because, we were in college. We certainly weren't thinking about our careers, I don't think. I didn't realize that you were on track to become a lawyer. How'd that take place?
I had envisioned that even when I was in high school, was going into the law. But I studied education, I taught sales, and I, quite frankly, have been able to use that to my advantage in my practice. But I also was in a situation where I had to earn the money to be able to go, and I didn't want to get into debt. And so it really did take me some time. So I was 35 years old when I went to law school. I was inspired by my stepfather, who was 55 when he started law school. He showed me that it was not too late and that life experiences would make you a better attorney. And so I ran with that and, quite frankly, found it to be exciting and fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It has been an extremely fulfilling career.
So there is hope for me. I can try another career, and I can go back to law school as well, right?
You can if they'll let you in.
Well, that might be a question. You and I have both had a lot of jobs in our careers, and that's always been fun to, like, compare notes and see. And, you know, amazingly, of all those crazy fraternity brothers we had, you know, we have you, and we have one guy that became a preacher.
Correct.
And one other. You're the second Rusty Satellite Show guest to be on the show with our good buddy Mark Hebert. So, you just never know where you're going to end up, do you?
No, and we actually had a lot of people that went on to have really successful careers. So it's thrilling to know that it worked well for them and they got the base they needed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing, we had a lot of fun in college, but we did sort of have a group discipline. You know, we all did pretty well with our GPAs, and we did study some, right. You know.
We took on responsibilities, and that was part of what that experience was for us. It helped us to become responsible for ourselves as well as for other people. And that's part of that experience. It's a good foundation for a young man.
Yeah, it's great if you can do all that and have as much fun as we did.
Correct.
So that's what it's all about. So so anyway, tell me more about the election. It's coming up. When is it?
It's November 8th. It's the same day as the presidential election. Okay. Even though it's a special election, there is no primary for this particular race due to the timing. So we're right at about 120 days out right now.
I saw something on TV about the presidential. It's 128 days away. So that's...
They probably got the number wrong. You saw it on television.
Yeah, I did. So very interesting. So what else about Oldham County? What attracted you to move out here being in the first place?
Well, I went to high school here. I grew up in Centerfield, and then... When I stopped working at the Court of Appeals, I wanted to go into private practice, and I wanted to come back home to practice. And so I did that, lived in Crestwood initially. I'm out in Westport now. I live up on the Ohio River. It's a beautiful, quiet little town. And I made a commitment not only to practice law here, but to become involved in the community, to take part in those activities that help make the county grow. Mm-hmm. I've said to many people, they ask, what's your job? And I said, well, I'm busy growing a county along with all these other people that are helping us. And it's been fulfilling. It really has. I'm so happy to be part of it, to be back where I was, and to see the people that I grew up with holding important positions in the community, running businesses, working with people, and supervising people. We're doing the things we need to do to make the county go well.
Well, you sure can go home again, and out here in Oldham County, the growth is phenomenal. You've seen it. What do you attribute it to?
The primary is the schools. The schools are amazing out here. In fact, that's what really helped us to get to Westport, was that my son wanted to go to North Oldham High School.
Okay.
And so we bought a house within the district, and he not only enjoyed the school experience, but he was successful in the football program as well.
Yeah, and he's off playing somewhere, right?
Well, he played at Urbana last fall. Now, he's decided to come back and go to University of Louisville. So he's back in town working right now and doing what a young man needs to do to prepare himself to go back to college, and he's doing well.
Well, I'll let Bobby Petrino know that he's back.
And, he's back, yeah. Cole was outstanding in high school, and he's a strong young man. He's a good player.
Well, good deal. I hope he's helping you on the campaign, and you know, you got all your all us fraternity brothers on your side too.
He is. In fact, I met with him right before I came to see you. He is our sign captain. Oh. So he's busy laying down strategy for where those signs need to go and how many we need. And I'm very proud of him.
All right. Well, very good. Now, people want to know about your campaign. I know I've seen some stuff about it on Facebook. What else?
Well, Facebook is really helping us a lot. We've gotten a tremendous following in a short period of time. And we're also putting things up in the way of a website. It's just been released, but we'll probably be making updates here every couple of weeks.
Well, you only got 120 or so days.
That's right. We need to work on it. And we've also have set up a Twitter account, an email account, a special phone number for the race. All of it's very, very helpful to bringing people into you so that they can ask questions. And it's important to listen to the voters.
All right, folks. To our audience, that's Steve Emery. He's running for circuit court judge out in Oldham County. If you live out here, certainly he deserves your vote. And look for him online. And you don't hold it against him that he's one of my fraternity brothers from Western.
And we won't hold it against you that you didn't use your nickname from college.
And a big thank you to Steve Emery for coming on the show, as well as to Ja'Cory Arthur, who will be performing first at Forecastle on Friday at 3 o'clock. You know, it's an action-packed show. I'm glad you were able to tune in and download it. Please tell your friends about it. Please tell me about it if you see me, that you listen to the show. It's really a lot of fun putting these shows together and talking about things that are big and important to me in Louisville, KY, my hometown. I want to tell you one other thing that I did. You know, a former guest on this show, Scott Martin of the Parks Department, I was out there a few weeks ago interviewing him for the Jeffersontown Chamber podcast and learned that the 21st Century Parks, the Parklands of Floyd's Fork, are nearly complete. So last weekend I got on my bike, I rode out there, and I went on this great, great path. It really starts at Bardstown Road and goes on through Billtown. It's lengthy. The length of the park is Shelbyville Road to Bardstown Road. When completed, and I understand it's only a week or two away, the path will be completed. It'll be 19 miles of bike path from beginning to end. I am also determined that when I went out there, I saw one of the boat slips. It's not really a boat slip. It's a place where you can put a canoe in the water or a kayak, and I'm determined to do that. It's right outside. It's like less than 10 miles from my house. I can go out there. Only other time I did a really canoeing, kayaking trip, I went all the way down to the Green River. I didn't know it was so easy to get in down there. Right at the Parklands of Floyd's Fork. So keep your eye on that. May have Scott on again to talk about that when that's completed. But I rode my bike all the way to there's a spot in between Taylorsville Road and Billtown Road where they haven't quite got, they got 2 miles of path that's not completed. And so I rode up to that spot and turned around and came back. Had a nice sunny bike ride at the Parklands of Floyd's Fork. All right, that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my good friends at Passport Health Plan and at Eye Care Institute for sponsoring the show, and hope to have you back again next week. All my friends that helped me put this together, like Jason Smith, my web guy, and Bill Breimer, their photographer, Jackie Bentley, who does all the a lot of the posting on LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. I urge you to check that out, as well as my other big project, which is EatDrinkTalk.net with Steve Coombs. Keep you up to date on everything going on in the restaurant and drinking industries around here. So that'll do it. I'll be back next week with another episode of The Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to The Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.